This is the sixth part of a seven-part series chronicling the seven haftaras taken from Yeshaya called Shiva de Nechemta, which we read during the period between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, which help us get a better sense of Gula. It's hard to pin down Gula. Chazal discouraged too close a decoding of Gula. Yaakov tried, Daniel tried, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld it from them. On the other hand, in general, Goren Shabbos says, we have to be attuned to the process of Gula, wait for Gula, and certainly in today's modern world, where we feel that the process has begun, has been ignited, to at least study what are the general patterns of Gula, what is expected of us, what will happen. So these haftaras are extremely helpful. So this haftara is known as Kumi Ori Kiva Orech. That must, of course, sounds familiar. It's a lot of the Lechadodis are taken from these haftarah. So you may recognize the stanza, Hisari, Hisari, Ki Va'orech, Uchlod Hashem Alayich Zarach. Now, it's a fairly long haftarah, certainly compared to the haftarah Parshas Ki Teitzei, but it's bookmarked, or bookended is a better word, bookended by imagery of light. The first couple of psukim and the last, not the last pasuk, but the conclusions. Let me just read the psukim. We'll talk a little bit about the imagery of light and darkness. I'll just translate it, many different translations, but just, if you're not familiar, just a rough translation. Awaken light, your light is coming. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor will shine upon you. Kavod Hashem Aleich Zarach. The darkness will cover the rest of the earth. Hinei HaChoshech Yichas Eretz. Va'arafel and clouds will cover other nations, but Hashem will shine his light and his honor upon you. And other nations will follow your light, and kings will follow your streams of light. So it's clear that the beginning starts with a lot of light. The light is, of course, being provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the light is spotlighting the Jewish people. Other nations are shrouded in darkness, shrouded in fog, but they're following the light of the Jewish people. That's a summary of the first four psukim, or the first three psukim. Now, towards the end, it's not the last pasuk, but towards the end, there's another pasuk. So this is what creates a bookend. It's pasuk Yutes, actually two psukim. Lo yeh lecha or Hashemesh, or Hashemesh le'or yomam. The sun will no longer shine its light. Ulenoga hayirech lo yirlach, and the moonlight won't provide light. Vaya lecha Hashem le'or olam. Hashem will provide that light. Velokayach le'tifarteich. Lo yavo otshim sheich v'reichech, and the sun won't set again. Keshem yelach li'or olam, Hashem will be your light, v'shalmu yimeivlech. So, the first question is how literal to take these light and dark imagery. The literal reading, there's a literal reading, it sounds very apocalyptic. This is the approach of the Ibn Ezra, that the Geula will be accompanied by certain sundering of nature, tearing apart of nature. The rest of the nations will be covered in darkness, and to a degree, even the Jewish people won't benefit from sunlight, but it won't matter because the planets will be ransacked, the moon, the sun. Other nations won't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I'll talk about which other nations in a few moments, but the Jewish people will have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a theme that's constant. Chvod Hashem Aleich Zarach. Everyone will be shrouded in darkness, and the Jewish people also, in fact, some interpret, Rashi quotes, Kumi Ori doesn't mean awaken my light, as we typically translate it, but the light should set. Kumi means when it sets, namely, the classic sun will set, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide supernatural light or apocalyptic light. So if that's the case, then the primary thrust of this parak in Yeshaya is to describe the apocalyptic events that surround Mashiach, and in particular, the ransacking of the sun, ransacking of the moon, and a supernal light, a supernatural light that will be provided for the Jews will be the only light available. A more metaphoric reading, and of course they could be complementary, is that light and dark here doesn't mean actual light and dark. It's a metaphor. Light and dark means that everything associated with Gullus, all the darkness of Gullus, will be replaced by light. What do we associate darkness with? Suffering. Parshas Kisavo. The darkness, you'll suffer in the middle of the night, you'll walk around Megashesh B'tzaharayim. It's not hard to find darkness associated with suffering of Gullus in Parshas Kisavo. What else do we associate darkness with? Hester Panim. We can't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's concealed, he's obscured. What else do we associate darkness with? Theological confusion, incorrect religions. So all that massive darkness, confusion, persecution, distance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from human appreciation, all that will be replaced by light. And everyone will notice. And it's not that the nations of the world will be shrouded in darkness and will use a supernatural light instead of the sun, but they'll be instructed by Am Yisrael. And certainly a lot of the rest of this parakim, which everyone gathers to Yerushalayim and builds the Beis HaMikdash and supports the Jewish people, and I'll try to iterate all these, are in line with a metaphoric reading. And of course, I imagine that everyone would accept the metaphoric reading. This is the story of Mashiach, everyone descending on Yerushalayim, being instructed by the Jewish people. The question is, in addition to the metaphoric reading, is there also an apocalyptic element to the bookends of this Haftarah in the 60th chapter of Yeshaya, which seems as if all the light is disappearing and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the only light? That's one really interesting question in this parak. Another interesting image, and Chazal sends this in the Medrash, is that the switch between darkness and light is reminiscent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi Or, Yehi Choshech, Yehi Choshech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating worlds and destroying worlds and then returning worlds. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saw the world Tov Vavoh and introduced darkness and then introduced light, this is a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, similarly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create that light, Liyasid Levo, for Am Yisrael. So essentially by creating light and dark imagery, and creating lightness out of darkness, this parak in Yeshaya is paralleling Gulas Yisrael with Yetziras Olam or Ma'aseh Bereishis. And that parallel creates verity and assuredness that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and it's baked into history that the sun's going to rise in the darkness, similarly Gulas Yisrael is not just a historical event, but it's baked into, if you want, redemptive history is part of natural history. Without redemptive history, natural history can't begin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only created a world of light because he wanted a people to embrace him, to instruct the other nations, to bring his presence to our world. So however you interpret the light and dark, is it only metaphoric or it's also apocalyptic, it certainly evokes Sheishis Yimei Bereishis. It certainly evokes Ma'aseh Bereishis in Yetziras Olam. So that's one important aspect of this parak. Again, it's primarily the bookends, the beginning and the end. Now, what's also very prominent in this section of Yeshaya is it seems as if there are two very different types of Gentiles. There are the Gentiles who are enthusiastic, who respond, who follow our light, v'holchu goyim le'orech u'melachim le'noga zarcheich, who will be led by our light and be led by our shine and our glean, and they'll all come and they'll bring our children back, and they'll dedicate riches and wealth, and I'll talk about the riches and wealth later, and there'll be so many people that the gates of Yerushalayim will be open nonstop, day and night, because people will be passing through, stampeding almost towards Yerushalayim. And these righteous goyim won't just deliver gifts, but Pasuk Zayin, they'll bring a lot of tzon, a lot of sheep, and a lot of rams. Why would you bring sheep and rams? The previous pasuk talks about camels, and talks about small camels and big camels. Shifas gimalim, bichrei midyan. These are camels that carry riches and wealth. But Pasuk Zayin talks about sheep. Sheep don't carry much, nor do rams. So the end of the pasuk says, Yalu al ratzon mizbechi. They're going to be offered as korbanos. And Chazal questioned whether they're gerim or not gerim. Can you bring a carbon as a goyim? It's machlokas tanoim. But it's clearly these are righteous goyim who want to contribute, who want to bring korbanos, who want to deliver on these ships from Tarshish all the riches, who want to build the Beis HaMikdash as it was once built. Kivod ha-Levanon elayich yavo. The wealth of Levanon will be delivered again. Well, we know when that happened the first time, when Chiram, the king of Melech Levanon, built the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, so deja vu. So there are a lot of righteous, virtuous goyim who want to learn, uvanu b'nei necharchu masayich, who want to build our walls, who want to serve us, who want to be part of this process, and enter Yerushalayim. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, there are nations who just don't respond. Ki agoy v'hamamlecha shelo yavducha, those that don't commit to this process, and not to serve the Jews for egotistical reasons, but to serve the Jews to foster and to advance the process, yovedu, they'll be destroyed. And within one parak, you have this dichotomy, which flows almost. This dichotomy flows throughout the entire Tanakh. What happens to the Gentiles? Lasid lefo. Are they destroyed? Are they annihilated? Are they decimated? Or are they redeemed and they travel to Yerushalayim and they're instructed and they're inspired by Kodesh Baruch Hu through his Mamlechas Kohanim v'Gei Kadosh? And even in previous parakim, right before Perek Samach in Yeshaya, you've got these doomsday scenarios where Gentiles are eliminated. So the answer is it depends. the end of days won't be as neat as. There will be people who are obstinate. There will be people who are wicked. There will be people who are defiant, and those people will be punished. Nations who will be enthusiastic, who will participate, and they're part of the prominent or the dominant nevuah in Yeshaya Perek Samach. But the nevuah also accounts for people who don't serve the Jewish people. I mean, serving as their servants, but don't serve the purpose that the Jewish people are gearing towards. There's an important duality, and it's a duality that's microcosmic or reflective of a lot of the nevuahs of Tanakh. So to summarize, one part of this nevuah is the light and dark imagery. It's either only a metaphor or also a foretelling of apocalyptic activity. It also invokes Maisa Bereishis, or evokes Maisa Bereishis. The second part of this Haftarah is the role of the Goyim. Now, there's a lot of movement and a lot of pilgrimage and a lot of, there's a torrent of people, animals, riches. The gates are open. I just want to read some of the imagery. Let me just find it here. Pischu Shearayach Tamid. Very famous phrase. Pischu Shearim V'yavo Goy Tzadik. Pischu Shearayach Tamid Yomam V'layla Lo Yisageru. 24/7. Passport control is open 24/7. Lavi Alayach Chel Goyim. To bring armies of nations. So many people are coming. Umal Chehem Nehugim. They're all being led to Yerushalayim. So there's a wave. There's a tidal wave of people coming. And there's so many people coming that it's compared to a river. Now I'm going back to Pasuk. Az Tiri V'Nahar. Tiri means you see, but you're afraid. It's just you see these masses of humanity descending upon Yerushalayim. It looks like a river. And actually, it's so frightening, but it's so startling. You become a little bit frightened or unnerved. Ufachad. And again, it's a very, very striking word. The Jewish people be a little bit afraid, a little bit stunned, I would say, startled to see this mass of humanity descend in Yerushalayim, v'rachav l'havech. But then your heart will be expanded once you realize the purpose. Your imagination will be stretched. Ki hafech aleich amon yam, because it will look like a sea descending upon you. Again, chel goyim yavolach. This phrase, chel goyim, repeats twice in the parak. I mentioned in the previous pasuk, pasuk yud aleph, levi aleich chel goyim, parak hey, hamon yam, chel goyim. And it's an ironic twist on all the nations that have always attacked the Jews, and in particular tried to conquer Yerushalayim. Now there'll be armies and armies of people celebrating, building, contributing. So there's a lot of people, a lot of animals. The animals, as I mentioned before, some of the animals are korbanos. Some of the animals are carrying riches and wealth, the camels in particular. And again, it doesn't have to be camels, but as we would say, tractor trailers, ships coming. And on that note, there's a lot of activity, both by land, sea. Okay, remember I mentioned Hamon Yam, the people will look like the ocean, but they won't just look like the ocean, but at a certain point, the ships will arrive on the ocean. And of course, ships arrive from Tarshish. So this is Pasuk Tes. Ki li'im yikavu, the islands will want to come. So islands is a maritime image. Doesn't mean the islands will move, but the island dwellers and the seafarers. V'anios Tarshish, and the famous ships of Tarshish. Remember, Yonah runs to Tarshish not to have to go to Nineveh. Lavi b'nayach merchok. Again, they'll transport the Jews. They'll transport the money. We'll talk about the money in a moment. So there's a lot of movement on land. There's a lot of movement on sea. And there's a lot of movement in the air. Pasiches. Mi'ela ka'av te'ufena. Who are these people that are flying to us like clouds? V'chayonim. And like doves. El arubas ahem. Back to their windows. Back to their coops. So it's just a lot of activity, waves and masses of humanity, gates that are open 24/7, land, sea, air, people, animals, wealth, riches. It's just a field. It's not, there's no deeper message, but it's a scene of masses of people, masses of creatures all descending. It feels, to be honest, it feels a little bit like Noah, that there's this mad rush to get into the Teva. And in particular, if the bookends of this nevuah are apocalyptic and there's going to be suffering and darkness, so there's really only one place to be, and that's the Teva. But it's no longer the Teva, now it's Yerushalayim. And it's very binary, and either you're in or you're out. So there's a little bit of that about this mass migration of animals and people and doves and camels and rams and sheep and people and ships that makes it feel just as a descent on Yerushalayim. But there's some of it that has a Noach tinge to it. So that's the third point. Again, point number one, dark and light. Point number two, two different fates for two different types of Gentile nations. Number three, mass migration. Number four, and this is probably to me, I think, one of the more sensitive parts of this whole Perek Samach, and that is there's a lot of wealth, and it's clear that it's wealth. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about the jewelry. This is in Yeshaya Nundalad, where there's a lot of jewelry. This is the Haftar of Aniyah Sarara. A lot of jewels, a lot of glazed glass, a lot of fine gems and stones. But it's not riches being delivered to the Jewish people. It's ornaments adorning the Beis HaMikdash, the walls, the windows. So it's creating a resplendent, glorious landscape to celebrate Hashem. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash, maybe Yerushalayim. Here in Yeshaya Perek Samach, that's in Yeshaya Perek Nundal, the sixth Perek Amrali, Yeshaya Perek Samach, there's just a lot of money. And it starts with the camels that are clearly carrying wealth, and they're carrying goods and services, not goods, but goods. But then it's clear there's a lot of money involved. Key, this is Pasuk Tes, all the islands will want to come, and the boats will come, and they'll transport our children from far distant lands. And then, Kaspam Uzehavam Itam. And their gold and their silver will be with them. That's not clear who this gold and silver belongs to. It could be the gold and silver that the Jews who are making Aliyah, who are immigrating to Israel, that they won't have to leave their wealth behind, as Jews have so often. So the Jews will come with their wealth intact. But the Kasbam Uzavam Itam could mean the wealth of other nations being delivered to the Jewish people. Now what's unclear about this Pasuk, Kasbam Uzavam Itam, Pasuk Tes, it's very clear in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin, it's very clear that we are benefiting monetarily from nations. And let me read the Pasuk, and then I'll explain how, at least the HaChazal interpreted the Pasuk. Tachas ha-nechoshes avi zahav, in place of copper, I will bring gold. Tachas ha-barzel avi kesef, in place of iron, I'll bring silver. Tachas ha-itzim, in place of wood, nechoshes, copper. Tachas ha-avanim, in place of stones, barzel, I'll bring iron. So there's a lot of minerals and a lot of wealth. Tachas ha-nechoshes avi zahav, there's precious metals, there's utilitarian metals, there's a lot that's being delivered. Now, it seems, Barbanel reads it, Rashi reads it, this tachas is because we are owed this money. Because here's the question. That's our image of Achris HaYamim. That's what we pine for, to get wealthy, to benefit, to funnel all the wealth. Like it affirms the greatest conspiracies and stigmas and stereotypes of Jews collecting global wealth. That's what we're in it for. That we'll all have gold and silver, jewelry, servants. That's why we dream of Mashiach. And of course, a lot of it can be taken metaphorically, but this pasuk, it's hard to take metaphorically. Tachas and Choshes, it's very metallic. It's very mineral-oriented. But what some of the pasuk says is as follows, is if you tally the wealth that the Jewish people lost throughout the last 2,000 years, and part of what makes amazing to me the state of the Jewish people in 2020 is that after the Holocaust and after communism and after so much of Jewish global wealth was compromised, we've been, Baruch Hashem, able to regenerate so quickly as a global Jewish community and then as a state of Israel as well, as the state of the Jews. But if you were to tally, just think about how to even begin to tally this. It would be an interesting question for historians and economists. Just tally how much wealth the Jews forfeited by being evicted, inquisitions, having their wealth condemned, country. Just think about Hitler, just think about the pogroms, just think about Arabic lands, think about Spain, think about, it's just an amazing figure. And we're owed this money. In a very similar way to the Jewish people receiving their just rewards from the Egyptians by receiving Klei Zav, Klei Chasav, Usmalos. Now again, we'd like to be generous, and we'd like to say, well, look, it's the end of time, we'll just let it ride. We're not interested in a yacht, we're not interested in a private jet, we're not interested in riches and wealth and private mansions. And I doubt, of course, but there is wealth that's owed us, and hopefully with whatever wealth we are restored, we'll utilize to build a country for all of humanity and a land that's promised to all mankind. So Jewish wealth is not just so that Jews can visit hotels on Passover or Pesach. It's Jewish wealth is so that we can be a Memleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh and build the types of structures that reflect the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it isn't something that you can avoid in this Haftarah. You just have to put it into context. And the word tachas, that figures so prominently in Pasuk Tetzav, tachas, nechoshes. Dachas nechoshes of Yisahav. Gold in place of all the nechoshes is an upgrade. We're owed hundreds of tons of nechoshes. Hashem will pay us back in Zav. Tachas haberzel of Yikesef. So that's the fourth point of the Haftarah. And the fifth point of the Haftarah, which is a very famous phrase, it comes at the tail end of the Haftarah, but it's a two-word phrase of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Darshan Zbi'ita, in its right time, Achishena will accelerate the Gula. And a very, very famous Gemara, Zachu, Achishena, Lo Zachu Bi'ita. They're two very different models of Gula. One model is if we merit it, if we deserve it, if we prompt it, if our behavior accelerates history, then we'll be Achishena, accelerated and hurried. And if not, we'll have to just wait. And it's not just two different time schedules, it's two different calibers. If it's an accelerated Gula that's based on merit, then it'll be easier and more calm and tranquil. However, if Chas V'Shalom, we have to wait until the appointed time of Gula because there is a terminist history, history isn't open-ended, then not only will we have to wait for Be'ita, but it will be rickety and difficult and challenging and apocalyptic and the Chevle Mashiach with the destruction and the apocalypse that so many of the Nevuos speak of. So these are five issues in Yeshaya Perek Samach. Issue number one, the light and dark imagery. Issue number two, different fates for different Gentile nations. Issue number three, mass migration, massive creatures, humanity descending. Issue number four, wealth and compensation, reparation. Issue number five, Bita Achishana, two different timetables for Gula.